Ananda Kumara,
Mande Krishna.
Krishna Nika Komadi, 5th Ray of Light, Late Afternoon Pastimes, Aparana Lila, 3:36 to 6 o'clock p.m. The Coward Boys feel unlimited happiness upon Krishna's return. To render different services, a few expert servants among the boys immediately surround the Lord, whose dark blue complexion is more lustrous than a fresh rain cloud. Overflowing with friendly love, Krishna greets all of his friends. At this time, Krishna's transcendental body radiates a captivating effulgence that conquers the beauty of millions of cupids. The 6 hours the boys spent playing with Krishna seemed to pass in a few seconds, but the time of their separation felt like a millennium. This ecstatic feeling is one of the emotional ornaments of the Sakha's friendship with Krishna. As the boys come together from all directions, they give up their worries and inquire from Krishna. "Hey Sakha, where have you been for such a long time? Tell us why you've avoided playing with us." Hearing his affectionate words and seeing his dear coward friend standing there, Krishna replies to their question. It appears as if bees intoxicated by the honey fragrance of Krishna's lips, which exude the nectar of his smile, are kissing the flowers of his words. Krishna replies, "See, my friends, I went to the Jamuna to get relief from the summer heat. I was accompanied by a few young boys with beautiful bodies who were skillful at service. Because it would have taken too long for everyone to bathe there, I did not take you. I see all the cows are happily munching the grass here. Now it is time to give up our plain in the forest, however, and return to Braj. So call the cows back to the Goshalas with the sound of your flutes and horns." Headed by Balaram, the young cowherds, who are saturated with sincere and friendly affection for each other, sound their flutes, horns, and panpipes while slowly walking to Braj. They call the cows, "Hey, hey, Sabali, Pisangi, Kali, Nila, Harini, Bilohini, Dumala, Sushila, come here. We are going home now, so don't wander off in the forest." Upon hearing the flute sounds, which blow away the dust of the Brajagopi's mounting maan, the cows stop wandering and start mooing as they approach the gopas. The attractive cows move slowly due to their heavy udders, which are fatter and firmer than the forehead of a rutting elephant. Mother Earth feels great bliss from the touch of their hooves, even though they are forcibly striking her surface. The cows making their way back to Braj have filled their bellies with lots of green grass. Their bodies are robust and healthy, and their udders resemble full water pots. The two young boys and their circle of friends journey from the forest back to their homes. Looking like two young elephants, one shining blue and the other white, they spontaneously attract the three worlds. The separation of the forest dwellers. The black bees, mistaking them to be lotus flowers, fall upon the sweet lotus feet of Krishna, the destroyer of all suffering. It seems that Vana Lakshmi, the goddess of the forest, is crying tears mixed with her cudgel. In the fever of separation from Krishna, the birds beat their bodies with the hands of their wings and chirp loudly to express their pain as if weeping. The does, their bodies afflicted in separation from their beloved, stare in the direction of Krishna as if they have no eyelids. Stunned, they stand in one place, praying for the treasure of another glance from Krishna. Seeing the peacocks dragging their tails along the ground as they walk behind Krishna, it seems that Vana Lakshmi's hair has loosened in lamentation and lies scattered on the earth. Egrets and other water birds fly erratically here and there searching for Krishna. With tears in their eyes and pitiful, choked-up voices, they try to serve Krishna in every lake. The sight of Krishna and Balaram herding the Surabhi cows from front to back on the way to Braj defeats the splendor of two captains, one black and one silver, steering a gleaming white ship. Sometimes the cows move quickly, drawn by affection for their calves. and at other times they just amble along due to the fatigue of carrying their heavy udders and the weight of their unlimited attraction to Krishna, who leads them home. Mother Earth, in her eagerness to broadcast the glories of Krishna's lotus feet, scatters piles of dust all around after the cow's hooves strike her surface. It appears that she is turning her whole body into dust just to touch the body of Krishna and the cows. Where else can an intelligent person obtain such happiness and full satisfaction? Krishna adorned with dust. The pure, colorful dust of Braj kicked up by the cow's hooves and sprinkled on Krishna's curly locks by the gentle breeze looks like pollen on the bodies of bees. Krishna's beautiful black hair hangs down beneath his white turban, which is decorated with leaves and flowers and dust from the cow's hooves. The Vajayanti garland on Krishna's chest, now glorified with the foot dust of all the cows, seems to smile with the beauty of its flowers and spreads its attractive pollen in all directions. Though covered by dust, Krishna's famous pure Kastuba jewel shines even more brilliantly. It appears the Kastuba is attempting to increase the purity of its fresh, inimitable luster. Devadarshan. Every day, without the knowledge of the Brajavasis, an assembly of devatas headed by Brahma and Shiva descend on earth to eulogize Krishna as he returns from the forest with the herds of cows. Krishna rejoices at their darshan and lingers a moment to bless them. But for the anxious gopis, that moment appears like a millennium. Approaching Braj. Wherever Krishna casts his merciful glance, that place becomes showered in love, and all the desire creepers suddenly burst into bloom. As Krishna slowly advances along the road to Braj, it seems that the goddess of beauty of the pink lotuses is worshipping his feet. The earth bathes in the effulgence of Madhava's dazzling toenails. In order to intoxicate all moving and non-moving living beings, the ocean of auspicious qualities known as Shyamasundara plays his elegant flute with an air of pride as he approaches Braj with his unpretentious cowherd boyfriends. The gopis first see the dust raised by the cows in the distance. Then they hear Krishna's flute and the commotion caused by the herds of moving cows. Upon hearing the cows mooing, the gopis stream out of their houses to stand beside the road. The love-struck gopis reel in bliss upon seeing the effulgent moon of their beloved's face. It seems their eyes are breaking a fast with the tasty sight of Krishna. Although Krishna is an unlimited ocean of amazing qualities, he is completely controlled by love. So when he glances at each gopi feels that tonight Krishna will come only to her house. The eyes of other love-thrilled gopis who are standing on the jeweled rooftops of their homes soar like bees to land on the beautiful lotus face of their lover. Fixed on Krishna's lotus face, the glances of the lotus-eyed gopis look like a shower of blue lotus petals piling one upon the other. The astonishing sweetness arising from the happiness of Shama's face being struck by the gopis' glances is only perceived by the gopis and Cupid. Though the gopis' bee-like glances resemble irresistible subtle arrows, the arrow of Krishna's counter-glances breaks their arrows in midair. But still, the tips of the gopis' arrows manage to pierce Krishna's chest. This exchange of love-laden glances increases the sweetness of their mutual attraction. Fearing their elders, however, the gopis only glance briefly at Krishna, but their ecstatic love does not diminish in the least. Meeting the Brajavasis. Young children and their elders happily greet Krishna as he blissfully enters Braj. Krishna reciprocates by looking lovingly upon each child, offering respect to each elder and showing regard to each of the nursemaids who have more affection for Krishna than their own children. Krishna's gentle, sweet smile attracts everyone in the village of Braj. Her heart brimming with motherly love, Yashoda stands in the courtyard, eagerly staring down the road leading to Krishna. After bringing the cows into the Goshala, the most beautiful Shyamasundara, Balaram, and their servants respectfully meet Mother Yashoda. Due to intense motherly affection, breast milk spontaneously streams out to soak Yashoda's sari as she embraces Krishna and Balaram with the creepers of her loving arms. At this time, Mother Yashoda says, "O friends of my sons, now go to your own houses." Thus sending off Krishna's friends, Mother Yashoda enters the house with her two sons.
Jaya Jaya Deva.